Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Very well, you?
Yes.
You all right, Chris?
Yes, episode 3 of the new series.
I still feel quite posh.
Oh, after the game on Tuesday?
Yeah. I brought a strongly worded letter of complaint to the Man City chef. Scallops shite.
A well-constructed email, was it?
Yeah. It said, chef, your
it
scallops...
It took about 2 hours. Right?
Your scallops are wank. Change them up.
Must do better, sir.
Yeah.
I thought they were all right.
Nah, Chris. So we were, me.
Did you have scallops?
Yes, I did.
And did you think they were all right?
Yeah, I thought they were all right.
I don't think they should come cold, me.
No.
When I've seen them on MasterChef and that, they're always seared and warm.
Seared, yeah.
Shit. It were like, I imagine, eating the remains and the contents of a used condom.
Oh, lovely.
to try and put it into context.
Yeah, that's the thought I wanted in the end. I tell you what, if it wasn't for them bread rolls... I would have been very disappointed, yeah.
And I bet the chef not even cooked them himself.
Nah.
Outside caterers, Warburton sent them.
Yeah. We got a touch, didn't we? Because
Oh, did you? Oh, I never... I had a good experience, but we never... I didn't get that one.
Was that complimentary, Chris, was it? We didn't know that was on the menu.
We someone got in touch who takes part in the quizzes regularly, listens regularly, and said that they got some tickets for the Tunnel Club. Mm. It's the Etihad for Man City versus Wickham. We totted along, didn't we? The corporate experience.
It is the poshest place I've been to in terms of the food. Like, just the food. I've never been to like a proper fine dining place. And
no, I don't think I have. I don't think I'd go.
You won't go again?
Chris, I was starving.
Yeah, like, I was genuinely, you know, I ate my meal and I was more hungry when I finished it because I'd got the taste in my mouth.
I mean, the beer was bloody...
The
Moretti was second to none.
Yeah,
we can't complain about that, can we?
I mean, it was a strange experience to go to a football game and, you know, fine dining. It wasn't just like your regular, like a box or what have you, where there's a buffet on and that.
Yeah.
It was fine dining, Michelin star.
We got his own waiter, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He fed you grapes, didn't he?
Yeah, I asked him to. I didn't know what I felt a bit of a dick. Well, obviously just for the video, but...
I felt a bit of a dick?
Yeah.
Why would you feel a bit of a dick sat in a restaurant with your shirt off asking somebody to feed you grapes?
And then tell him you've left the stalks on. Sir. No, I was glad I did enjoy it, though.
Yeah. I did enjoy it. It were. They're good set of lads. And, yeah.
It was a lovely gesture of
them. Swaying by end.
Oh, fucking hell. Then we had a business meeting at about 1:30
We put the world around
in the Hilton, didn't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we need to get back to our bread and butter, don't we?
Oh, get me back to the terrace. Get me a pint. Get me a pie.
What do you always have? Lamb Balti?
Chicken
Balti pie.
Yeah. I miss the atmosphere. Do you know just the...
Yeah. It were a good crack light.
Well, when the Wickham goal went in, we said straight away, didn't we? Oh, it'd been good to be in that Wickham end now.
Mm. Nicky Hunt part 2.
Dame Jackie, I think they should call her.
I can't believe that.
It's scandalous, isn't it? It's scandalous.
I mean, they were all consenting adults, I suppose, and her being the more senior of them all.
Very much the ringleader. More experienced. Yeah, she was like the ringleader of Greatest Showman, weren't she? Just orchestrating proceedings.
Class, man. I think a few of the old, you know, who said he's close to the youth team, lads, I think they all, I've seen a few comments from them. Or people getting tagged in it saying, oh, you get a mention.
Right, yeah.
You know, about the old nights out and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good. I'm looking forward to part two.
Yeah, definitely.
And there's still a few tickets going for the live shows. If you're fancying it, getting quick.
It'll soon be here, yeah.
Yeah.
And soon be sold out, so fucking hurry up.
Yeah. All guests are sorted, aren't they, John?
Near enough. Yeah. Why do you aim that straight at me?
Because you're the organiser.
Oh, right.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah. I'm organising live shows. A tour, I think you said.
Yeah.
A tour. I've been stretching around Kanye West since you mentioned it.
Is there a tour organised? Yeah, so I've done the stuff with the venues and et cetera, et cetera.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah. Well, you had someone's number who could sort out all the venues.
So me and Pete have sorted the venues out. Yeah. The one that I chose is actually when the one with the stages fell through, so... Gladly, I left the most of it to Pete. But me and Pete have sort of a live tour.
No, but there are still just a few tickets available if you fancy it. Get on the website, on the Twitter as well. I think there's a link there that you can go through and purchase your tickets.
Yes.
Can't wait.
You can.
Yeah,
you
can.
You'd like it to get cancelled again, wouldn't you? Let's be honest. Cancelled once and for all, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Right, should we get him in?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do we get him in when you also get him in, yeah? Well, yeah.
Do you want to wait? Do you want to call him in?
Patreon, Chris.
Patreon.
Subtle reminder.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not a member of the Patreon already, just £2.50 a month, you get two extra episodes, don't you?
There's been some good ones.
And the last 30 odd or whatever we've done.
Yeah, all the previous episodes.
If you go on pence per podcast.
PPP.
PPP. You're probably looking at 15 pence, 20 pence for your first month.
Oh.
No, less. 10 pence.
It's value for money.
That's what we're working for here, lads.
Yeah.
10 pence.
You're getting for your PPP. 15 pence per PPP.
10 pence per fucking podcast. That's what we're working for here.
Right, get him and you two do me head in.
Go on, Nicky.
When you signed your 4-year deal then, and obviously we do, not numbers, but when you signed your 4-year deal, because whenever you come through the ranks at a club, you always, you never, it's not like somebody signing for £5 million, they get. So are you now at the point where you're feeling, I'm on a 4-year deal here now and I'm on the wages as a Premier League player that I should be?
Comparable with rest at squad. Like.
Well, I'm valued as I'm valued as a squad, as a squad player, and as valued at how many appearances I'm going to make in that squad. That's how I viewed it, and that's the contract they give me, and that's how they viewed it. But then to go from literally 3 months, signed it in August, and then October, or it might have been November, he signed Greta, and it was just like a culture shock for me, because I thought initially Matt, fine, bit of competition for place and stuff, and then literally just went straight in, and he scored his own debut. A fluke. He like put a cross in and it looped over the keeper, hit post and went in, and he was just like, he just ran off celebrating. I thought, fuck it, I'll start Benson.
You fucking didn't mean
what
that.
What chance you
put your arms down, dickhead.
Fucking hell, fire. So yeah, but you know, football's football, isn't it? You've got to deal with it, haven't you?
So were you one of them who'd been knocking on his door saying, why the fuck am I not playing? Why am I not playing?
Well, yeah, Megson was like a bit, off-putish. He didn't like the player confrontation. He didn't like you questioning him in his... Do you know what I mean? He'd have a bit of banter on the training ground trying to keep you on side. But when you got past that point where you're thinking, you've been doing this for fucking 2-3 months and I'm still not playing. So as a human being, as a man, you just think, I know how good I am and I know what I've done for this club and stuff like that. You've just got to go to a point where you either want me or you don't. Do you know what I mean? You want me or you don't. And then that's when I went on loan to Birmingham City.
Birmingham, yeah.
Yeah. I thought we had a game on this Sunday, was it? And Birmingham had a game on the Tuesday. And Alex McLeish rang me up. And he said, look, we'd love to sign you. But Stephen Kelly's injured. He told me exactly, he put it on the table. He said, Stephen Kelly's injured. We need a right back. We think you're ideal for us. You're attacking right back. Love getting crossing. Love getting up the field. Would you like to come to us on loan? And they were pushing for promotion that season to get in the Premier League. So I said, yeah, of course I would. And then Gary Megson said, whoa, 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 I need you on my bench. And I'm like,
see, that's when your head goes in it.
Are you like, you fucking serious? You need me on your bench. You're going to just go and get a fucking anyone else, like an 18-year-old lad, just to go and sit on your bench. I've never come on, didn't come on. You know, I'm the only fucking player to never play a Premier League game in one season but get booked. Do you know that's that?
We should do.
It should be on there.
What did you get booked for?
Portsmouth away, right? Andy O'Brien had done something at a corner, so he'd give a corner away, and Megson said, "Only go out and tell, go and warm up right at the side of the linesman, and go and get pass some information on."
You must be pissed off there if you just passing messages on.
Like a fucking postman, basically. So he says, you do that. So I've gone out, a bit reluctant to do so on that. So I've gone out, said some stuff, and the linesman's like flagging like that. So the referee's come over and spoke to the linesman, and the linesman obviously told him, like, I'd said something like, they do this on this corner, so you mark him or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Passed on some information. So linesman's put his flag up. Referee's come over, he said, can't do that. Only you can't do that. You can't speak to people on the pitch while you're warming up. Yellow card. So you give me a fucking yellow card, and it's for history, if you go back through the history books in Premier League, no one has ever got a yellow card and never played a Premier League game, only me. So I'm a fucking history maker, basically. But it's crazy, mate. Honestly, he came over, he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to fucking yell a card. And I'm like,
You have to pay your fucking 15
pounds. Oh, no, didn't pay that. To be fair to him, after the game, he said, Unni, whatever you get fined for that, I'll pay it because it should have been for you. Oh, yeah, cheers, fucking cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate. Just put him on bench next week, so.
Did you enjoy it at Birmingham?
I loved it at Birmingham, yeah. Alex McGeach was an old school manager like Sam. He was from that mould. Like, he was, you know, proper Scot, you know, hard as nails, didn't give a fuck, like, wanted you to do whatever you... He had one mission, and that was to get Birmingham City to the Premier League, and he did it. And when I went there, I think we were like fifth or fourth. So we were flying high, sort of thing. But we had players like Frank Drew, Kev Phillips was there, Lee Carsley was there. We had top pros, you know what I mean? Raddy Jardy was there, who used to play with me at Bolton.
The centre half.
Yeah. And when I went there, I think we were like fifth or fourth. So we were flying high, sort of thing. But we had players like Frank Drew, Kev Phillips was there, Lee Carsley was there. We had top pros, you know what I mean? Raddy Jardy was there, who used to play with me at Bolton.
The centre half.
Yeah. So I knew quite a few players and stuff, but they had a fantastic squad. Marcus Bent was there.
Did you get recalled, though?
Yeah, well, this is a story for you. So
How did you actually make the move happen then, if he's saying no?
No, McLeish rang me direct and said, do you want to come, basically? Because I didn't have an agent at the time, so I paid my agent off years ago. So he said, yeah. I said, yeah, of course I want to come. And he was like, right, we'll make it happen. The clubs will make it happen. So Megson pulled me on the Thursday before we played on the Sunday. And he knew Birmingham had a game on the Tuesday, which he wanted me to play in McLeish. So he said, Birmingham City have come in, but I'm a bit short for, you know, I need you in the squad, I need you. And I was like, I'm not played at all this season. You just want me to sit on the bench. Yeah, but, you know, see how you feel after the game Sunday. This is what he said to me, see how you feel after the game Sunday. So I thought, what? See how you feel? So after the game Sunday, I rang Alex McLeish and said, I'll be there tomorrow.
So I'm going to still feel so.
I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there tomorrow.
Do you know, watching that 90 minutes, it's made no fucking difference.
What's at all?
So he said, I'll be there Monday. Booked me in the hotel. So he booked me in the Radisson Monday. Stayed Monday night and played Tuesday. And then I stayed there for 2 months. And he called me back, Megson, because Steinson had an injury. So I was going to play at Arsenal at the Emirates on the Saturday. So I trained on the Thursday. Fucking pulled my thigh on the Thursday in training, and I thought, fuck, that was my chance just to not prove to him.
To get back in.
Yeah. Did you also not think to yourself, I know I pulled my thigh, it's not great, but fuck you, Megson. Like, so you've called me back because your right back's injured.
Yeah.
I got injured, fuck you.
Yeah, no, it does go through your mind that. But
yeah, I think it's
no,
just
it does,
a natural thing.
Yeah, right? Of course.
Get some other fucking dickhead to.
It is, yeah, just get someone to fill it right back for me. Because I really enjoyed my football then at Birmingham. We were flying high, like, and they got promoted that season to the Premier League. But yeah, that Arsenal game, I thought, fucking hell. So I think he was injured for about 3 weeks. And then he did. McLeish made another inquiry because Kelly got injured. He came back for like two games, got injured again. So they inquired about me, but Megson never ever told me. Do you know how I found out about that? I think it was through Lee Carsley or someone else associated with Birmingham. After they got promoted, they said, yeah, but we came in for you. I was like, no, you didn't. Oh, yeah, we did. We made an inquiry. And no one, he never fucking mentioned anything about it. And that's what really pissed me off, because he never said, I could have gone back and played the last 2 months and got a promotion medal.
Yeah, signed you.
Yeah, but yeah, it could have happened. That's what could have happened, but he never mentioned anything about it, which really pissed me off.
So when you went to Derby the season after, have you left Bolton now?
Psychologically, I have. Like, mentally, I have.
Well, have you still got 2 years left?
I've still got, yeah. When I, 18 months I had left when I went to Derby. I went to Derby in the January of 2009, was it? Played 20 games or something like that in 6 months. Yeah, Cluffy, yeah. He was fantastic, to be fair.
Did he take you on your international breaks? Because he's renowned for a minute.
Oh, no, we didn't. I don't think we went anywhere. No, we didn't, no.
Not Burton now, whenever they're getting into... Well, obviously not. Are they in League One now? When they were in the Championship, whenever they got an international break, it were like, right, where do you want to go, lads?
Oh, really? Yeah.
No, there were no pitch next to hotel neither. It was, where do you want to go, lads?
Yeah, literally, you know where you want to
just
go.
Just a brutal.
I didn't think he went, did he? And you just fucking let him crack on.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Hey, what a manager that is. What a manager that is.
So who's there? Bywater?
Bywater.
Robbie Savage.
Robbie Savage. Sean Barker was there. Dean Moxey.
And with Savage?
Diamond Robbie Savage. I used to hate playing against him at Blackburn or Leicester, wherever he was, because he was a mouthy bastard. And he'll tell you that himself. He was a proper mouthy, but he was mouthing off to a referee trying to get him onside and then mouthing off to you saying, you shit, you fucking crap and all this. And then after the game, or if you've seen him out on a night out and stuff, he was one of the nicest lads you'll ever meet. And we played against Macclesfield in pre-season for Ashton about 2-3 weeks ago. And he got 25% share in Macclesfield. Yeah. And he was there. He was a diamond, like, bought us drinks after the game in the new bar and stuff. He was top draw.
You've been a go-karting.
Oh, yeah, he won't like me for saying this, but he was like the go-karting. They had like a thing at Derby. When he signed, he had like a bit of a family thing. He wanted them all to do something. So I think they went go-karting 2 or 3 times and stuff, and he used to batter everyone at go-karting. So he goes to a go-karting session on his own. I think it's Nottingham Circuit or something like that. So he was champion about 3 years running on it. So we get
Robbie
so
Savage go-karting.
He was, yeah. And he
used to just on that podium, a little picture of him with a little trophy.
With a little silver go-kart.
Bowser's second.
Donkey Kong third.
He just turned up to go kart with a big bunch of bananas
in a red shell. Right, so anyway, we get to this Nottingham circuit, and you know, we've got all gear on and that, and Robbie's giving it large. Yeah, I think it's about 10 of us racing. He's like, yeah, I'm not been beat for like 3 years. Just an inevitability, this inevitability. So we flies around this track, done about, I think we did 20 laps. So we're on about 18th lap. 18th lap.
I can't believe you know this story.
Yeah, I can't forget it because every time I see him, I'll always remind him of it. He's saying, I fucking hate it. So we get strapped, but 18th lap, 2 laps towards the end, and I'm in second, he's in first. And he keeps looking over, you know, he keeps fucking looking over his shoulder with fucking Stig hat on, Stig helmet on and that. So on this.
You couldn't remember who played right wing for Man United on your debut. We're on 18 fucking laps. Yeah,
my memory's vague at the best of times, but when things like this, I need to remember him because when I do meet him eventually, again, Robbie Savage, I need to like pester him, peck his head, that remind him of it where he's fucking been shy at goal karting. So anyway, he gets a fucking 18th lap. And I pass him. He makes a mistake on a corner. And he never makes a mistake, Savage. Never fucking makes a mistake. So I pass him on corner and then I fucking finish line first. So we get some point, he was gutted. Absolutely fucking gutted. You know when you get out of fastest lap? He had fastest lap and all that. Not a problem. But I finished fucking first. So I get some podium and that. puts, like you said, little fucking 5x4 inch fucking trophy like that. Brilliant. He never, to this day, he put it in. You remember, he used to have a column in the paper in the Mirror on Sunday or something. He used to have a column, Robbie Savage, and he put it in the column. To be fair to him, on the, I think we went there on the Wednesday. He put it in on Sunday. He said, "My one more thing. My go-karting, you know, championship has been overtook by Nicky Hunt. So congratulations to him and that." So we're in the national newspaper. So fair play to him. You know, he succumbed to my greatness on the track and that. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you weren't in that fucking 106, were you?
I had neon lights under it, didn't I? With the inboxing back in that.
What makes it... Because I've always been shit at go-karting just because I'm the heaviest on the track. Yeah. If we're all in the same car,
just sparks.
If we're on opposite
carts.
Well, the thing is, if you're all in the same car, and there's somebody at fucking 10 stone, and there's me at 17 stone, I can't win, can I?
People just laugh at you because you're stuck or something.
It's just tickled us. What makes a good go-karter? Because I thought, what weight would it care if you're all at the same car?
You're probably halfway there, Parky, but probably because you left fucking engine running outside, then you fucking, you're a loser here.
So, before we go back to Bolton and Bristol, you're on about characters. Talk us through Stephen Bywater.
As a man or as a character?
There's
two sides to him. There's a man and a character, I think, because he was a diamond. In the changing room, he was a diamond. Like, he'd do anything for you. Proper nice lad. Make you coffee in the morning. Anyone want tea? Anyone want coffee? But then you go out on the training pitch and he just like flips. Like, oh, he'd just be, you couldn't go in for a 50-50 with him at all, because he'd come out with your studs in your face. he'd come out, catch a ball, your studs would be in your face. You know, if you went for an header, your studs would be in your face. He'd be like chopping you in your face, and he'd be like, oh my God, I'm staying well away from Bywater. And he never, we used to do shooting after training at Derby. He never stayed out, you know, because he used to let the young Irish keeper stay out and do shooting with us. I don't know why that was. It probably got, maybe he didn't want like lads scoring goals past him in training and stuff, because every time a goal went in, it'd be anyone else's fault other than his.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I just think goalkeepers are a massively different breed than outfield players, because you have to be an absolute psychopath to be a goalkeeper. Like, he was no exception, and he was just, on a day-to-day basis, it was a laugh a minute, because you never knew what was going to... never knew what by what was going to turn up. No, you never knew which one was going to turn up to training or even games and stuff.
Which one did you prefer?
Neither. No, he's a great lad. He's a great lad, Stevie Bylock, great man.
So did you go back to Bolton?
I went back to Bolton. Owen Coyle.
Owen Coyle.
Gary Megson got sacked. Was a quite a good day for a few of us, that, do you know what I mean?
So are you thinking now, I've still got a year left, I might get back in here?
Of course you are. I think the lads that he'd frozen out, because he'd frozen a lot of lads out, were thinking exactly the same thing. I think before Coyle got appointed, I think Steve Wigley took over with Corky, and he said, look, everyone's on a fresh slate here. He involved everyone in the squad for the few games. We had Arsenal away, we had a couple at home, until Coyle came in, and then it was the end of season then. And then we went away for the summer, came back, and Coyle was there. And to be fair to Coyle, he was really honest with me. He said, look, you're not in my plans. So I said, yeah, fair enough. And but he was like, one of the, said, if you want to go to anywhere else, I'll try and make it happen for you. I put in a great reference for you. You've been fantastic pre-season, played in games. You've been not no hassle, but you've been a real model professional. You've not been fucking it off. You've not been like, you know, kicking your feet and, you know. And to be fair, I think he got me my move to Bristol City, really, because I think Steve Coppell must have rang him up and said, look, what's he like? And he must have said, yeah, he's a diamond, like, he's great, but he's just not in my plans. So I think that's where my move to Bristol City escalated. Really.
So did you walk out on your contract then?
Yeah, I just said, look, you know, I've got 12 months there, and, you know, there was a financial package, but it weren't nowhere near what I was on.
Right,
so I just said, look, I'll just, as long as I can get this move Bristol City sorted, I'll leave.
Yeah.
So it saved them money, and do you know what I mean? So,
you think you did that because it was Bolton?
I just think I owed them a lot. you know, the whole club, not necessarily the manager, or I just think I owed the club because they give me my break in
yeah, but
you first
can flip that the other way as well and say you've the club owes 9 solid years through the Premier League.
Oh, yeah,
League,
no, but, yeah, but I don't think I thought like that. I just think I thought, you know, if I'm not wanted and he's told me I'm not wanted, when Megson never told me I weren't wanted, he always wanted me around, you know what I mean? Like, just on the bench or here and there or... But when someone, like, honest with you, sits you down in front of him and says, look, you're not for me, but I'll do everything in my power. And he was on the phone to the chairman. He said, look, you know, Nicky wants to leave. We've got a club in for him. Can we make it happen? And he said, I want to make it happen. So he put the phone down. Literally, I think two, three days later, I was in Bristol signing the contract. Sure. And it was just like that.
So that's fair play to Coyle,
yeah,
isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I've got a lot of respect for him for doing that. You know,
maybe
yeah.
You're not happy with his decision because he's ending your tenure.
Of course, yeah. Well, I was 1 year off of, you know, 10-year testimonial. But it's not, football's not all about that. Football's all about wanting to play games and wanting to further your career at times.
Did you like it down there?
Bristol as a place was fantastic. Like, the people were really, really nice and stuff. But my how do I put it? My time down there was not one of the best of my career. Purely because of, I think, my performances for the club weren't up to scratch. I'll be brutally honest with you. It were nowhere near what I should have been performing. But I didn't necessarily get the games. I think I only played 7 games. And when you have like 2 or 3, you know, quite good games and then 4 bad ones and then you get turfed out of the team, you get scapegoated somewhat, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And the fans think, because I didn't come back into the fold, they think there's something wrong with me. They think that, you know, I had something else off the pitch or I had something going on or, you know, I was just a shit player. But it actually wasn't that. It was quite a few factors in my career that at that time weren't going for me and didn't go for me. The change of manager didn't help. I mean, Steve Coppell signed me. And then 2 weeks later, he'd fucked off, basically, to Thailand.
Did he just do 2 games?
Oh,
he
fucking did.
It's fucking not permanent.
I thought it was a 2 week in Pattaya.
I think he fucked off. Literally, I signed in August the 1st or something like that, played the first pre-season game, got injured against Blackpool. And then I weren't supposed to be playing the first league game against Millwall, but played it. Which I shouldn't do, which is stupid for me. Didn't do myself any justice. Lost 3-0, played Southend in the EFL Cup first round, lost 4-3 there, and he walked out after that game. And I was like, is there a new signing in that? Like, David James had just signed as well. I'd signed. There's about 3 or 4 other players that signed, and we're all thinking, what the fuck?
He just like 2 games. Didn't he say he didn't have enough passion for the job?
Yeah,
he
came in after the game. He said something like, lads, don't worry about tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure, you know, training you for a pre-season. It's been an absolute pleasure, you know, loved your work rate and that. And I just hope you're the very best for the future. And then
picks up his suitcase and walks out.
If he could have walked out with his rolling suitcase and his passport just fucked off.
Just checking his top. Yeah.
I've got my passport,
boarding pass here. Yeah, it's been a pleasure, lads.
And his VIP fucking VIP lounge pass. Yeah,
he's NXR 2732 Thailand. Mr. Coppell. Wait till Mr. Coppell.
Honestly, and all the lads were like, we turned up the train on the Thursday and we were like, what the fuck just happened? Like, seriously, like, no one could believe what had happened. He'd literally been there for a month and a half or something, or 2 months max. They'd done all the pre-season with him and all that, and he just left. Jeez. Crazy.
Like a lot of people said on Twitter and stuff like, what happened at Bristol? Was your head not in the right place?
I think it was a mixture of things. My performance on the pitch obviously was a big factor. I've been a home guy, you know what I mean? I've been a home bird all my career. Lived in Bolton for 9 years and stuff, and it was the first time I'd actually, apart from the old 4 days at Cambridge United, it was the only time I'd ventured, you know.
FIFA session of Cambridge.
By the way, though, mate, we're not talking about 3 full seasons here. You played 7 games.
I know. Yeah. So there was a big hoo-ha with the fans and stuff about me.
So they're expecting...
Yeah, they were expecting... They just brought the Premier League right back. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And they were expecting big things. And they didn't get it, which was my fault. Obviously, ultimately, it's my fault because I wasn't performing on the pitch. but I never really truly got a good go at it. Do you know what I mean? Keith Millen took over after it. I think I played, we played Scunthorpe away, beat Scunthorpe away, and then we played Watford. I think it was Watford at home, and he dragged me at half time. And then I never played then till Leeds United away, like came on as a sub at Leeds United away about 3-4 months later. So when you're out of the fold for so long and you just get drafted in for 20 minutes, 30 minutes here, you're on a loser anyway, yeah, especially the defender. But yeah, it was Bristol's a fantastic place to live. You know, I moved to Portishead, which is a really nice place to live and stuff, but that's not everything. That, you know, you can have a nice house, you can have a nice car, but if you're not happy, it can be the worst time of your life, and it probably was the worst 18 months.
You're single at this point?
No, I was newly involved with someone, but they weren't with me all the time, but that probably might have been a factor, but it might not have been. It must just have been because I'm a very family oriented guy, so to be around my family is key. Yeah. And to be away from him for that long, and to my daughter and stuff like that, I weren't in a an awful mental state or anything like that, but it was tough. It was really, really tough when you're thinking, I'm not playing, I'm training, nothing at the end of it on a Saturday. It's awful. It's like the worst feeling.
I just think I can't fucking wait to just shoot back home.
Well, yeah, of course, because it used to give, like, so, to be fair, sometimes you used to give me a weekend off and that, and I'd fly up from Bristol, fly to Manchester on Friday afternoon, and come back Monday morning. And I just think that was my get out. That was just my like time back with the family, back at home, doing what I'm doing. But then I knew in the back of my mind I'd have to be there Monday to Saturday.
Two like mental strains in it that counterbalance each other and outweigh each other. If you're playing well but missing home, you come back and you're like, oh, well, you're doing well.
Yeah.
Where if you're not, if your performance isn't there and you're missing home, then they both come together, don't they? And
it's a subconscious thing as well. That you are missing your daughter naturally. You might not be thinking, saying yourself, you're not putting a doubt of that completely.
No.
But it's a subconscious thing where something's not quite right.
Yeah.
Your football gets affected. Mm-hmm. It's just a vicious circle, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. But ultimately, it's on my shoulders that I didn't perform for Bristol City Football Club. And that's what everyone else, that's what the fans will see. But I don't think I got the time or the time to perform to my abilities, because I only played 7 games in the NFL. And it doesn't matter who you are. If I'd have played 37 games, I'd have been shit. The 37 games, fair enough. But it's just such a small, it's like an eighth or seventh of the season or something like that. And that's the only time I got to prove my worth for that football club.
So when you left Bristol, are you like, right, who in North West or surrounding areas?
So you had a year left, so you just terminated
your contract? Yeah, I think I went to January, so I had 6 months left. But they went abroad pre-season, Bristol, in the July, and he didn't include me. So I knew then my time was up, but it took literally 6 months to not get out, but just find... Because I wanted to move back up north, like you said, I wanted to, and it was difficult. I couldn't really. I was talking to Wigan, you know, like a lot of the local clubs, and then we ended up with Preston. One of my mates knew the coach at Preston, John Drew, and he was there, and he said, "Just come in." And I thought, right, well, let's just go in and go training, have a bit of a trial sort of thing, and see what materialises. And luckily for me, he took a gamble on me and just, well, not a gamble, because my pedigree from there is fucking mad.
I think you're half doing yourself down here. So 12 months ago, you've left Bolton.
Yeah.
And for the previous 7 seasons, you've played all that in the Premier League, all them games in the Premier League and that, right? And then 12 months later, you're having to go on trial at Preston.
Yeah,
in League One. That's fucking madness.
Yeah, in League One.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about
it. Yeah.
You think it down like that.
You've had a shitter of a year at Bristol, right? Fair enough. I mean, everybody has it.
Yeah.
You had quite a lot of shitty years.
carry on.
That's for fucking go-kart. That's me getting back for fucking go-kart. So basically, you've come from, in that short space of time, it's mad how it went from you've been having a year left at Bolton to then... 12 months later, you're on trial at Preston.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking, like, you know, in football, that's
in
madness,
football
isn't
term, it? Yeah, it is crazy, because But me, myself, I'm harsh on myself because I know how good I can be on my day and stuff. So when you say, oh, you've been a bit, but that's how I get better. Do you know what I mean? I'm the same when, because I'm coaching now, I'm the same as if I do, if I think to myself, I put on a below par session, then I'll impact myself on that. I'll talk to myself and I'll say, this could have been better, this could have been better. But when I do a good session, it's fine. Do you know what I mean?
Good like, session.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. An actual proper session that I can be proud of, because it's about personally being proud of yourself, basically. It's no matter what you do, out of football, in football, and that's what I focus my whole entire like life on, basically, just being proud of yourself. And when you say, I know why you say it, but I'm harsh on myself because I know I can be better. That's the only reason why I do it. I don't put myself down by doing it. I know I can do, know how good I can be, and I know how better I can be, sort of thing.
Because obviously he's had a bad crack of the whip on here, Wesley, but because you were playing, could you oversee all that, like just let all the other stuff go?
Yeah, because the one thing I wanted to do, because I was back home, so my head was right, do you know what I mean? And two, I was playing games Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday.
You know, you see you're back at home, you were still fucking leaving at 7 in the morning, getting at fucking 7 at night, weren't you, with Wesley?
Oh, Jesus, so I'm the rest.
You were at home, but you weren't fucking the airport.
Yeah, but I was in the north of England, of England, weren't I? I was in the northwest, weren't I? Oh, but yeah, they were long days, Jesus Christ. I was in at, I think it was 8:30 in. Breakfast 8:30, starting the gym at 9 with Dino Manrio, who's at Burton now.
Hey, fucking hell, fucking hell. Fucking hell, don't you? What the fucking hell are you doing? Fucking hell,
don't
you? Fucking hell, fucking hell.
While he was doing biceps curls and eating dumbbells for breakfast.
Fucking hell.
Mate, Dino Manrio. What a guy.
I think he's a lovely fella.
Oh, he's lovely a great fella. Oh, I've seen him on the weekend clapping the Burton fans, and he's on his sister managing. He's fucking like, him. And they're all like, Dino, Dino. And he's like, with massive muscles, yeah. Dino, he's loving life, like, yeah, but fucking hell. Yeah, they were long days, 8:30 in. So we used to meet at 7:30 at the Watergate pub. Me, Andy Gray, Scottish right back.
David Greer.
Sorry, why am I getting first name wrong?
I wasn't asking about David.
David Teal instead of Gary Teal. But Wesley used to join in on these fucking gym sessions in the morning, you know, like the press-ups and sit-ups and all that. But he used to do it with a wet top and then a jumper over, so he'd sweat like fuck and drop all his body fat and stuff. So he used to be pumping like that for half an hour.
Yeah, he used to come and stand on your back and doing press-ups
Yeah, yeah. Put your bum down and you stand on your like that, and you just cave in and you say, fucking weak as piss. And you're like, you're fucking about 20 stone, you daft bastard. And you're only 5'6", you're about 20 stone. Everyone's going to cave in when you're standing on my back, aren't you? But yeah, and then we used to do training in the morning, half 10 till like 12:30, lunch for an hour till 1:30, bit of video analysis, and then outside about 2:30 till about 4:30. And then you'd go in and you'd make you eat some fruit or something or yogurt before you went home. Like you were proper into that. And we used to get home at like 6:30, 7:00 at night from 7:30 in the morning.
He used to have his sheet. He used to have his sheet on the wall. But Newport had a sheet on the wall, right? So you were in a team for the week. So whatever you were doing, you were in a team for the week. So if your team won, like the five-a-side competition or whatever, you got points, marks.
Right.
Right. And he would pick the team for the Saturday on who got the best most points through the week. I swear to God, at Newport.
Preston. He used to do analysis after the game where he used to mark you out of 10. He used to put your names and then he used to get in after getting beat or winning and he used to put a mark at the side of your name and tell you why you got that mark in front of everyone. Like, so you could have had a shocker.
Yeah, but you were getting out at January 6, weren't you?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's what he did. So if right back was shit, right? For instance, right back was shit. But he'd been in team with four other good players, five other good players. So he'd play.
Yeah.
He'd been in winning team all week.
Yeah.
Fucking bonkers.
Mate, honestly. But if you had a shit game at the end of the game, he'd put like 3 or 4. And you'd be thinking, fuck. And he'd be saying, you didn't even fucking make a pass to one of our players. You kept kicking it in fucking stand. You didn't make a cross. And you'd be sat there, you've just been dick 4-0. Last thing you want is your manager fucking saying that to you in front of everyone. Unbelievable, mate. He just write it. And he knew when you knew when you did a circle, you're either 9, or 8, or a 0. He did 0. He did 0s. So you're hoping to come
even
back
Jackie
down.
Even Jackie didn't do 0s.
Yeah, you're hoping to come back down for a 9 or do another one underneath for an 8. If it were, you're fucking 0. Oh, my God. Everyone was shitting themselves coming in. If you lost the game, everyone was like, fucking no chance.
You used to play the murder ball on the Friday.
Oh, my God.
Throw away catch,
yeah.
In a penalty box.
Yes.
With every player.
Yeah. Every player at the club in, 2 goalkeepers.
Right. So throw away catch. Lads, he's like, fucking get your head in. What in people get cut on a Friday morning?
Oh, yeah. But people got games with bandages on, like Terry Butcher.
You throw it up and...
Yeah. So one of them, throw it up.
Next person's got to edit to one of the other teammates.
To catch it. But in the end, you had to edit into goal.
There's 30 people in the 18-yard box.
I'm not joking. It weren't much bigger than this. It weren't much bigger than this room, what you had it 30 people in, trying to do. A goal there and a goal there. Not I shit you not.
Especially the worst ones are the young lads, you know, trying to impress them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're just about to catch it and then somebody...
What the fuck are you doing,
you twat? You're loving it. If you'd have headed the post and cut yourself, you'd have been playing it.
Of course you'd have been.
Were you... Were you involved in the chef where to wear? The texting? Leaking the team and stuff?
Oh, yeah, that was involved. Rhodes' dad was the goalkeeping coach for Chef Wednesday, weren't he?
So what happened?
Because he used to text at random times. You can tell us. But...
I've had one at 2:30 in the morning on an away game, a text off him saying, like, what's your thoughts about this? Like, I'm thinking about this. What's your thoughts about this? 2:30 in the morning. Away game, you're in the hotel with him, or what's your thoughts about this? But then we get down to breakfast in the morning. So say I'm not texting back, you get down to breakfast in the morning and he'd sit next to you. So why are you not texting back last night? I said, one, I was a fucking sleep. And two, I didn't, you know, what you asked me like about tactics, I didn't think it was relevant. Well, you fucking should have. You fucking should have texted me back.
It's like me with the women, that.
I don't.
Yeah. Why not text us back?
Yes. Where the fuck are you?
I bet Jackie had texted me. Well, one, I was asleep, and two, fucking you're fucking lying.
I thought it was a question, Graham.
But that's what he was like.
So was he expecting you to text back at 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah. And he said he would send a group text out about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning on away games. Always away games, this. I don't know why, it was always away games, and he'd expect 18 answers before you woke up, before 6 o'clock in the morning. Why, I don't know, but he must just never... He used to tell me, I never sleep, never switch off, mate, never sleep, never switch off. No, because you've got fucking £18 million in bank, because you're fucking dad's company that you've inherited, and you're fucking not caring the fucking world, so you don't need to switch off. You can think about football and stuff. What about fucking us?
Give your time at 3 o'clock.
Exactly, then. Fucking hell. What about us that fucking, you know, feeding kids and that, feeding wife and stuff, paying mortgage and stuff? But he's a completely different character. But I think he's got a bit more mellow now.
I mean, when I went to Newport, Flinney got sacked, and I'm like, just one manager, anybody but. Newport announced Graham Wesley. No. I'm 36 here, right?
Yeah.
I'm 36. And I'm thinking, I'm just winding down.
Yeah.
I'm just winding. And then he came in, played on the Saturday, and the Monday morning was one of the hardest sessions I've ever done.
Really?
Ever. And I'm like, I fucking can't do this.
Really?
In his first 2 weeks, we had 8 people pull something.
Yeah.
And he weren't bothered.
Oh, no, he weren't fucking... If you can't run, you can't fucking play. Yeah. That's his fucking motto.
We'll put somebody else in.
Well, yeah, Andy Rhodes had... obviously, he used to be at Preston.
Yeah.
But he'd heard that he was a paranoid wreck. I don't know what the score was.
Well, we played a centre-half up front that game at Ilson.
I think it was about 3-0,
Shepard, but we played centre-half up front. Aaron Brown, I think he was called, Aaron Brown. 6'6", he was, centre-half. But Wesley had it in his head that their two centre-halves were weak as piss. So we'd play a centre-half up top. We had fucking Jamie Proctor, Ian Hume. We had like proper like goal scorers in our team. Nah, we'll put a centre-half up top. We'll fucking go along and we'll fucking get the bits. I think we got Dick 3-0, fucking Hillsborough. that was that. That was, and it got leaked. Came out that he got leaked. The team, and he was. I think we had a meeting. I think it was straight after the game in the changing rooms. He said, "Right, listen, lads, someone's leaked the team to Chef Wednesday."
And he was only joking, though, wasn't he?
No, he was fucking deadly serious.
No, well, Rhodes, he was only.
Oh
joking.
Yeah, Rob, but Wester was deadly serious.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Wester was fucking deadly serious.
Because he must have gone into the staff room, and Rhodes obviously said to his staff, "Watch this," and he's just gone. We knew your team.
Yeah,
as a wind up.
Oh, did nobody say like, "I don't think the team being leaked's the problem"?
No,
it's the fact that we've got a centre half.
Honestly,
we've got the right wing next game.
If you go back to the team sheet that day, Aaron Brown centre half up top on his own. Five midfielders.
On his own,
five midfielders. Three of them were sitters. So you literally had Aaron Brown up top with two wingers, like inverted wingers, and then back four. It was madness, honestly.
Funny, you've gone from Wesley to another character. Stevie Evans.
Oh, Mr.
Steve. I imagine Steve didn't join in both gym sessions. I bet he joined in the breakfast and the fucking dinner session.
He used to have a coffee and a cake in David Lloyd before we went in. That's what he used to have. He used to have his eyebrows done. He used to go for his eyebrows done before a game by these two birds. I don't know. He used to get pictures taken with them. He used to do like he had a thing about his eyebrows where they had to be pristine. And it all came up on the website and like social media and stuff about Steve Evans had been in bright red beetroot face, and then his eyebrows were pristine, like honestly like a bird's
eyebrow. Like a little bit string and that.
Yeah, like a bird's eyebrow. He spent about half an hour, like must have spent 60 quid on it just before every game and stuff like that. Pristine eyebrows and stuff. Mental, mate, honestly.
Did he also have eyeliner at all? I'm sure I've
seen
that. Yeah, somebody said that.
He had eyeliner, did he?
I've never seen him with eyeliner, but I knew he had his eyebrows threaded or whatever it's called. But he was a fucking hell, he was a character.
Can you see why he gets success, though?
Oh, because he fucking goes to teams where if he don't like the 11 players, he just goes and buys 11 more in January. That's what he did at Rotherham. Oh, mate, Rotherham. He signed, fucking hell, here we go, signed me, fucking hell. And then after another six games, seven games, went and signed fucking 10 players and got them promoted.
But League Two with this?
Yeah, and then did it again in League One and got them promoted again into the Championship. I'm sure he took him to the Championship, Steve Evans.
Yeah, I think he did.
But it was because he must have spent, I'm not joking, millions, and that was in League Two, League One, millions, because the chairman's got an infinite pot of money. Like, he's a very rich, wealthy guy, the chairman. But he used to have a drawer. He's diabetic. He had one drawer here full of pens and shit, and he had one drawer here full of Mars bars, Twixies, Snickers, fucking all that for like a Dairy Milks and that. Honestly, it was madness. It was fucking madness.
I'm out of this chunky kid. That's how I'm fucking. I'm up and draw now, fucking.
Honestly,
pass us that pen.
You don't believe me. Set him up a contract with a Mars bar.
Man, you've sounded that. KJ, earlier. Couple of Twixies there under that seat there, giving me.
I'm going to offer you that 2-year contract and help yourself to Tuck Shop. I can't wait to Tuck Shop again.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, he just always looks angry.
He is, yeah, he's high blood pressure. No, he just has best players. Like, when you've got infinite money in League Two and League One, you go out and buy the best players and they just do what? Like, Keodi Odijeyi, a good mate of mine, he was at Accrington with me in Rotherham.
That lovely lad, and he still lives in Barnsley.
Yeah, he does. Offered him out on training ground, Steve Evans, at Rotherham. And Steve Evans, I've never seen a man shit himself as much. So Steve Evans, he didn't run in behind. We were doing team shape and Big K, we call him Big K.
And he's lovely. Like,
oh, he's nice, a diamond, absolute diamond. So he didn't run in behind. Someone played a ball and didn't run in behind. He went, "Hey, K, you fucking did not run in behind. You fucking cunt. Yeah, you fucking this, fucking that, fucking that." And K's gone, "You what?" And we started walking towards him. So we've just gone, "Ooh,
this could get
tasty, this." So everyone just took a step back and he's just like carried on walking towards him. And you see Steve Evans going, stay up there. Next time, just run in behind next time. And he's gone, "You ever speak to me like that, I will fucking break you. And all lads are like that, because Kay's a big lad. He's a big lad. And all lads are like that. And Steve Evans, to be fair to him, was like, oh, no, no, no. Didn't mean anything by it. Just next time. Can you just make that run?
Yeah,
can you just make that run?
Next time.
Yeah, and I've never seen anyone shit themselves much in my life. A man on a football field as much as Steve Evans did there, because Kay could have just ended him. He could have just like ruined him, honestly.
He's not.
It takes a lot for him to, do you know what I mean? And for him to just say, you what? What did you just say to me? And he just, when soon he started walking forward, we all just like took a step. We could have, if there was a deck chair, we could have just like sat there and deck chair like, yeah, we'll just wait for this. We'll just wait for this to happen here. Just wait for him to twat.
We were Rainer.
Probably getting his Twixies out in preparation for his high blood pressure. I'll just get his Twixies.
So did you leave on loan to Accrington initially?
Yes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From Rotherham. Yeah, William Richardson was the manager. James Beattie was a centre forward. Franny Jeffers. Accrington had a knack of bringing like experienced pros in on like next to nothing money, just like not pay as you play, but just like because they must have made a lot of money, Franny and James, and just said, look, do you want to come play some games? And
it was for the crack, really. James
Beattie's mum lived in Exton near Bolton's training ground. So it was perfect for James because I think he lived down south and used to stay at his mum's while we were at Accrington and that.
Washing done, take up.
And then go home, I think. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It was like a stopgap for him. And Franny was only Liverpool. We had loads of scouts that played for Accrington. We had like three or four or five played for Accrington. But they hadn't, when I was there, they had nothing. Like we had an Ed tennis court on the car park, like where the burger van was on a Saturday, and just play there. You know, before
training. Did you have to enjoy that though?
I loved it, honestly. It was proper back to the old school. And
I'm going to say, how old are you at this point?
I was, what was that, 2014? So 7 years ago. So I was 29, 30.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I loved it, honestly. The squad we had, you never heard of any of the players, no disrespect to them, but you never heard of them, apart from obviously Beats and Jeffers.
Excuse me.
But apart from that, you never heard of them, but they were gritty, they were determined. And they grind out results, and that's what I loved about them. It was just like, didn't have a training ground, didn't have anything, just had to rent a sports centre, 4G, behind it, or go and get on the grass at a local rugby club. And that was us. It was mad, honestly, it was fucking crazy.
Did you play in that when I asked for the hat trick?
Yeah.
He's turned that on himself quickly, hasn't he?
It's been a while, hasn't it? I think I know you're playing.
You bullied Tom Aldridge. Tom Aldridge, centre half. You bullied him to death. Him and Peter Murphy, you bullied to death. And hat trick. Yeah, I remember it. Fleetwood. Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember it well.
Well, get back onto you.
would you say like you were happy at Accrington?
Massively.
Comparable with Bolton, like I know.
Honestly, it sounds so fucking
stupid.
It does sound stupid, but yeah, because you knew what you were getting at Accrington. You'd go in, you didn't know if your kit would be there washed. Do you know what I mean? It was that sort of club. Like it was a proper family club, but you didn't know what was happening next. And I liked that. Although I had the stability with Bolton and your kit man was there, your kit was laid out. This, that. I think I bought 30 towels and I bought training tops for us, the zip-up ones before match day. I bought all them or got them all in for the club because they couldn't afford to get them. They could afford towels, but they were like 6, 7, 8 years old, So
there's been a lot of fucking little people shit on them. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of fucking Gary Glitters fucking back there.
A lot of wiped arses on them, that's what we've been. So I went out and got all them and it was just little things like that, that the lads appreciated and I appreciated, just that can do a little bit for, and it just made their, because they had two towels a day then, instead of having one towel every 3-4 days. It was literally like that, I swear down.
After Stanley, you had a spell at Mansfield and then joined up with Kevin Nolan again.
I did, Big Kev, yeah, Leon Orion, yeah.
I'm assuming you were good mates.
Yeah,
Mac,
I mean,
and Bolton.
Yeah, we always kept in touch and stuff, and he weren't far away. He was always in Liverpool, lived in Liverpool, so we always kept in touch, and you know, the opportunity came out, and to be fair, he spoke to Cleggy, my Ashton manager, my best mate, and he said, I'm looking for a right back. And Cleggy went, why do you not just take Huntley? And he went, well, would he come? And he went, of course he fucking come. Of course he fucking must. So literally, this is how it happened. Like, he spoke to my best mate, and my best mate organised a transfer, basically, because then Kev... Leon Orion contacted Mansfield, and Mansfield went back to them with this and that and this, and then it happened. And it was like, I'd only been at Mansfield for 5 months or something. I was captain, club captain as well. So it's quite difficult for me to leave, really, but I just thought it was a massive opportunity. They were fourth. No disrespect to Mansfield, I think we were about 11th or 10th and stuff, but they were fourth and pushing for promotion. I just thought it's a great opportunity for me, like, yeah. You know, going playing under Kev, and it, yeah.
Did they ever give you a fucking?
In what way?
Like, I don't know how close you were. You know,
well, I've been with him for 6 years.
But, you know, as a manager, did he ever give you the ballotkin?
Oh, yeah.
So he put that to the side?
Oh, there was a divide, yeah. Definitely a divide. But you do it in training as well, which took me aback. I'll be honest with you, it took me aback because I thought, you know, me and him, best buddies. But he you know, if you needed to be rollocked, he'd fucking do it in training rather than the game, because he'd do it when everyone said, like the physio senior, the academy seen it, that he'd shout it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Not as
just as there's no fucking favourites at this football club.
A bit like back at Bolton.
Yeah, I'm the fucking manager. I don't care who the fuck you are, whether you're my best mate, my least best mate, you're getting it. If you do something wrong that I don't like, you're getting it, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting up on Jim after saying, bit fucking
hell. He's texting him after change saying, fucking hell, Gaffer, he's fucking winding me up. I'm going fucking pubby in half an hour. Fucking hell, ain't you, answer?
After that bollocking, you're getting fucking first round.
Yeah. I'm not bringing my fucking wallet out tonight. But as a manager and a player, he never changed. Like, he was always, he loved a baby. I think every footballer loves a baby. But he knew when to wind it in, do you know what I mean? There was a border, there was a line that you crossed, and if you crossed it, you fucking knew about it, do you know what I mean? Which I liked about him. But a lot of managers I've worked under have had the same thing, apart from like your Megson, because they never really got to know him, or Steve Evans and stuff.
Yeah.
But the other ones, like, you knew how far you could, not how far you could push him, but how far you could take it. Sort of.
Is he still in a job now?
Kevin Nolan.
Is he still in football?
He's a West Ham first team coach,
right,
under Moyes. Yeah, he's been there 3 years now, so he's quite loving it, really. And I thought he'd miss management, but he's doing really well.
When Kev left Notts County, did you leave at the same time?
No, I left about 3 months before he left. Like, he didn't re-sign me purely because of like financial status and stuff. I think the chairman half thought that they didn't go up that season; they lost in the playoffs to Coventry 2 legs. I think he thought, I pumped so much money into the club, then I'm not really prepared to do it in the second year.
Is that
so,
the one who got caught with his cock out up for?
Yeah, that's it. What a guy.
Yeah. I tell you who'd be nice meeting.
Jackie.
Him and Jackie have got a lag of fucking out of some fire.
Yeah, that's exactly him.
Were you all right, though?
He was sound, but he was a bit of a, like, wet lettuce. Like, do you know what I mean? He'd never managed a proper, like, never managed a football club before, or never owned a football club before. I just thought it was a bit of an hobby. He owned a golf club and stuff, but I just think it took its toll, because you're just pumping money in and not getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people realise that. You're just spunking your money, basically, just to be in a nice box and know the players and know the manager. That's basically what it is, isn't it, really? Until you eye up like your Man United and stuff like that. But I think he just thought, I can't do it anymore. I'm spunking that much money in. And he let me...
Instead of spunking money in, I just spunk it on my phone. with his cock out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think there's any clubs make any money, is there?
No.
Barcelona can't afford Messi.
No.
They can't make any money. Who can?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mad, well, isn't it?
Good luck, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
When do you say you start?
At what?
At your Bolton School.
Oh, Bolton School, 6th of September. Me and Jordan Spur.
Do you know when you meet him on that first day? Maybe call him Tommy and not Jordan.
Oh,
that,
shit, it'll, yeah,
be
Jordan.
It'll be a terrible start, won't it?
Hey, Jordan.
That's four times.
That's what you're on about.
Four times I've got a fucking first.
No problem, no problem, Nigel.
Fucking hell, don't want to call him Jordan. Jesus fucking Christ.
You write it on your hand, will you?
Tommy. Well, best of luck with the new role then.
Oh no, thank you. Yeah. Thanks, James, for this. Yeah,
and the player coach role. You might get more than games than what you think.
I know. You just don't know, do you?
So you have to get rid of that fucking belly.
Fucking hell.
lockdown fucking belly. Yeah.
You won't be getting a nine off Jackie now, I tell you.
You might struggle for a 69 off Jackie. A fucking nine.
No, cheers, mate. Yeah, it's
fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
cheers, mate. Honestly, it's fucking brilliant.
Thanks for coming on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.